Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verses 14 through 19. Act like he's coming back. If there's one thing that we all have in common, that one thing that we have in common is that we all suffer. Every person in here is going through something. Now, just because you're going through something and you know what you're going through and you think you're fooling the next person and they don't know that you're going through, you gotta know that you're not fooling them, you're fooling yourself. Because the truth of the matter is, what you're going through, somebody else has already been through it, or somebody else is going through it, or somebody else will face what you're going through. And so suffering is common to all of us. When I say suffering, what I mean is that you're going through a period or a season of pain. Sometimes church folk get so holy that when you begin to go through something, they tell you it really isn't that bad. Sometimes my stuff really is that bad. You may fool yourself, but I know what I feel, and you ain't fooling me. My stuff really is bad. When it's Friday and the bills are due and you can't make the payments, it's bad. When relationships is on the rocks, it's bad. When the doctors say you got a sickness, it's bad. So there's no need to say, well, it's not that bad. It is bad, and God says it's okay if we acknowledge that it's bad. But what I also need for you to do is acknowledge Him. And so we begin to suffer, and as we begin to suffer, what we try to do is that we try to examine where we are, because we have to make sense of our suffering. How can we make sense of what a holy God is doing in our lives? See, we don't know, but we spend all our time saying, the reason that this is happening is because of this and because of that. You know, the truth of the matter is, it really doesn't matter why I'm going through it. The truth of the matter is, I gotta go through it, or I'm gonna start all the way back over again. And since I'm halfway, Lord, just take me through. And if you take me here, I know that you're gonna lead me on. So we gotta press all the way through. And so tonight, I want to open up by dealing with four different types or levels of suffering. The first one is fairness. Fairness is when a person is suffering, but they're suffering as a result of something that they did, therefore they deserve it. For example, I get in my car and I have a fifth of Jack Daniels, and I'm drunk, and the police stop me and give me a ticket and put me in jail. I'm suffering as a result of being in jail and the cost of it, but the truth of the matter is, I deserve that. And so one level that we deal with, and that is fairness. Fairness is when you get back what you deserve or what you put out. And so what we try to do is say, well, the police could have gave me just a warning. You know, but you're going to drive down the street and you're going to hit somebody, kill somebody. And so if he gives you a warning, he has knowledge of it. Now he's on the hook because he stopped you and he let you go. So that's fairness. The second level that we want to deal with is general frustration. That is, for example, the computer crashed today and it just would not come back on. I just could not get that thing to work. And so as a result, I suffer because I had my day planned out and it involved working on this computer. But because the computer crashed, now I got to suffer through the rest of the day and I can't get done what I need to accomplish today. And so that brings about suffering and frustration in my life. Now, the third level or different types that we're going to deal with is injustice. Injustice is when you're going through something and you're suffering, but it's not fair. For example, racism. For example, sexism. You know, you're going through something and you're saying, well, what did I do? And really, you did nothing at all, but you just find yourself suffering through something. The fourth level that I want to talk about, and that is a spiritual level of suffering. And that is the stuff that we cannot explain. For example, illness. For example, why did the little baby have to die? What did the baby do to anybody? God, that's just not fair. God, why are you allowing me to suffer? God, I'm coming to church. God, I'm trying to do my best. Why do you allow me to suffer and I'm trying to do what is right? And so when we become under that spiritual suffering, that spiritual attack, God is trying to communicate to us that I'm trying to move you from one place to the next place. Now, whenever you begin to move, the worst thing you can do is try to get from point A to point B with excess baggage. And so quite often what God does is strip some people and some things and some habits out of your life because God wants you prepared to run the race. And so we set off and we're running the race, and as we begin to run the race and it's a spiritual suffering, what we always do or what happened is we always raise the question of why, God? And so what Peter is dealing with in chapter 4 is that the why really isn't important, but just in case you want to know, the why is associated with God wants you to live like he's coming back. So it becomes a question of how are you walking with God? You see, how you walk with God is not a physical walk, it's a spiritual state. How are you operating in the kingdom of God? How is your lifestyle? What type of person are you? Those are the things that God is trying to deal with us. And so when God tried to deal with us, God is always trying to elevate us, never to take from us, never to tear us down. And quite often we say, well, don't question God. I can't find in the Bible where God say, don't question me. What I find in the Bible where God invites us to talk to him, invite us to bring it to him. And so whatever it is that we're going through, we may not like why we're going through or like the reason that we're going through, but God is not some God that is sitting up there and he's saying, "What? Don't talk to me." God is a loving God. Even in the midst of suffering, God is still a loving God. So I want to pick up at verse number 14. Verse number 14. Take a look at verse number 14, please. Verse number 14, it says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ." In other words, if somebody begins to criticize you because you're trying to walk like God is ordering you to walk. In other words, he's saying to you, when that happened, you don't take it personal, because the only reason they're doing it is because my name is at stake. Now, God will always fight for and defend his name. We name children whatever. We don't even give a thought to it. But what God is saying in a name is that the name is the nature. So in other words, if my name becomes mud, my nature is mud. So he's going to always protect his name, because he wants you to know that when you call on his name, there's power in his name, there's authority in his name. And so when you begin to go through something, he reflects back to the Beatitudes. And that is, when you're suffering for my name's sake, he says, just be happy. It has nothing to do with you. Remember, the word or the name Christian, it means property of Christ. And so if we belong to God, God has a right to do whatever he please with us. And so sometimes that involves suffering, or what God would call a cross. You know, we all have a cross to bear. Your cross may not look like mine, but you do have a cross. My cross may not look like yours, but we all have a cross that we have to bear. In other words, just because Jesus died on the cross doesn't mean that you're just going to walk through life and you're not going to suffer anything. And we as church folk need to stop lying to one another. Just come on into church and join the church and all your problems is over. That's a lie. What I guarantee you is when you join the church, your problems just begin. Amen. See, when you were in the world, Satan didn't bother you because he already had you. But then when you come and you give your life to God, then he comes after you because he wants you back. And so that's when the struggle begins. In other words, God is saying that the struggle is Satan is pulling here and I'm pulling here, but you got to choose. A loving God allows you to choose whom you're going to serve. But you can't be neutral. well, I just don't have anything to do with it. You can't be neutral. You're either going to be hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, if that's your choice, God says, I don't even want you. I'll just spew you out of my mouth. So you got to make a choice. Or if you make no choice, that is a choice that also has a consequence to it. And so what he says in verse number 14, he says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory, and this got me today, listen to this, for the spirit of glory and of God. So there's a difference between the spirit of glory and the spirit of God. So that's two separate things that you're dealing with. And what he's saying is that the spirit of glory and the spirit of God, though they're two separate things, they are the same, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's how you're able to be happy or to have joy when your whole world is torn down, when everything that you know is suffering, but you still got joy because the Holy Spirit gives you comfort inside. And so everybody else is looking at your situation and you're not looking at your situation or your circumstance. What you're doing is looking at Christ, because you know that he is the author and the finisher of your faith. In other words, what God wrote about you, he says, you ain't gonna die, you ain't gonna have a heart attack, you ain't gonna leave this place until I finish it in you. And so in the meantime, we're worried about stuff, and God is saying, why are you worried about it? You gotta know that I'm gonna finish what I started in you. But Satan comes and he says, but you remember when you did this. Listen, your sins don't separate you from God. God's love for us is so strong, so faithful, that he says your sins don't separate you. The only thing that separates us from God is when we reject God. You're going to heaven based off the grace of God, not off how well you do something, how intelligent you are, how many times you come to church, or what you give to the church. That's not important, or that's not primary with God. What's primary is that you receive him. And when you receive him, you receive the power that comes with receiving him. And that is your hope. That is your peace while you're suffering. That is the ability to allow you to continue to go when you receive him. And so he says, now the spirit of glory and of God. So what he's saying is that I'm going to give you the power, and the spirit of glory is that not only am I going to give you the power, but I'm going to allow somebody else to see it. See, something that you're going through and you're sitting down, I'm not saying tell your business, but I'm saying don't be ashamed because you're suffering for Christ's sake. Because what you're going through, you need to know somebody's watching you. And somebody's saying, she's been going to church. Let me see how you're going to respond this time. So somebody who never reads the Bible is saying, I'm going to read you in this situation. You don't know who you've been a blessing to. You don't know who you have impacted. You don't know who you've strengthened. It's not just a preacher thing. It's our everyday walk with God. It's all of us. All of us have a message from God, and we all are preaching something. So what God is saying, in the midst of suffering, you got to know somebody's watching you, and you got to know that I'll allow them to see my Shekinah glory in your life. So when you begin to go through something and people look at you and say, girl, I don't know how you're making it, and you just say, nobody but God.
Amen.
That's how you're making it. Nobody but God. And so what they do is look at you, and then they say, well, I don't know if I want to serve a God like that. So they begin to criticize you. They begin to laugh at you. They begin to present God as though you should be ashamed of serving God, because why would you serve a God that allow all that? And the truth of the matter is, you should serve a God that allow all that, because God is taking you from where they are to a place that is higher. And see, what you'll always discover, I think, about Satan, and that is this. When God get ready to move, Satan will show up first.
Yeah.
Somebody will show up and do something stupid, and you say, why in the world? I thought we were friends. Why in the world did that person do that? And that's because Satan got wind of what God is about to do, and he knows, I better stop you now, because if I don't stop you now and you get stronger in the Lord, get more word, and then faith come, I can never touch you. I can never stop you. So he wants to stop you before you get started. And so he'll quite often use the people around you to criticize you so that you can pull your focus off God and put your focus on people. So the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, the world folks, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. In other words, they're laughing at what you're going through. And they say, you might as well go to the club now. And for them, that makes sense. But for you, you're saying, no, God is up to something. I know God is moving in my life. And I know that I'm going through something. And I know that God has me. I know I stay up sometimes all night and I'm crying about it. But then before I'm done, I feel the presence of God saying, but I got you. Right in the palm of my hands. I got you. And I know that you're looking at everything that could happen, all the bad stuff. But you got to know that I put a hedge of protection around you. And you got to know that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. You got to know that I got you. Verse number 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or an evildoer. No. In other words, he says, when you're going through something, don't let what they say be true about you. See, what they're saying and what they're saying is, well, you must did something wrong. That's what they said to Job. Well, Job, maybe you did something. I don't know. What about that time? You remember that Friday night you was on? Maybe you did something. What about that Monday night? Maybe you did something. And what God is saying, no, let them talk. Let them say what they want to say. But at the end, I promise you that you're going to have the victory. At the end, I promise you that there's going to be a glory that's going to come in your life. And the same people who say you can't do this and you can't have that, watch them sit and look at you as you enjoy what you've been through, as you enjoy the blessings of God. See, everybody that is around you really are not cheerleaders for you. There's some people that is around you and their assignment, you heard what I said, their assignment is to tear you down. Their assignment is to destroy you. Their assignment, I mean, that's what Satan ordered them to do. And they said, give me the papers, I'll go do it for you. And they're willing parties. That's their assignment in life. But God says, I came that you may have what?
Life.
And have life more.
Life.
Not just to get by, but he said, I want to give you so much that it's an overflow on you. So you have what you need and you have enough for the person to your left, the person to your right. That's how God is dealing with us, operating with us.
Thank you, Lord.
Verse number 16. Watch this. He says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian. Now, notice this. The word Christian that you see there. Can you believe? I know this is hard to believe. But the word Christian is only in the Bible three times. That is here, Acts 11:26 and Acts 26:28. Can you believe that? Only three times that the word Christian or the name Christian is in the Bible. But it says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be what?
Ashamed.
Don't be ashamed. You going through something because, you know, you've been coming to church and you've been faithful and they laugh at you. Well, you keep giving that preacher your money. No, I ain't thinking about no preacher. I'm sowing into the kingdom of God. Can't no preacher bless me. Only God can bless me. I ain't thinking about no man. This ain't got nothing to do with a man. I'm talking about my relationship with God. If the preacher take it and set it afire, that still don't stop my blessing. If he take it and smoke it up in the back, that still don't stop my blessing. Because what God has for me is for me. But let him glorify God on this behalf. This behalf. In other words, when you're going through something, he says, this suffering, give God some praise because of the suffering. You see, we have to know that in life sometimes, we have to get to a point where we say, it was good that I was afflicted. It was good that you left me. It was good that I went through this and I went through that. Because as a result, you woke me up. And then as a result of that, I got back on the path that God wanted me to be on. And so what you meant for evil, God turned that thing around and he meant it for good. You thought you were stopping me and you were stirring something up. You were waking me up. And now I'm much better because of the thing that you tried to do. Now I know it wasn't you and it wasn't even me because I lost my mind in the midst of it so I can give him some praise because I know it wasn't nobody but God that brought me through it. Verse number 17. For the time is. I like that. He didn't say the time will come. He said, no, baby, right now. Right now. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. You get that? Judgment must begin at the house of God. In other words, he's dealing with two types of judgment. There's a disciplinary judgment where God says, I love you, so I'm going to smack you back in line. But what God says to us is that I love you and I'm going to put you back in line. He's saving us from eternal judgment. Because there's no coming back from hell. So a little slap on the earth to keep me out of hell, baby, hit me two times. So long as I have eternal life with God. So he says this. He says, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Now watch this. You ever turn the television on today and you discover quite often when you turn the television on, read the newspaper, you see so many preachers that are going through things. Yes. And sometimes it is so easy for us to say, see there, they thought they were all that. No. Listen, please don't get up and leave. But the same stuff that you struggle with, I struggle with. The same sins that is in your life, forgive me for saying this, but the same stuff is in my life. No, don't get up and walk out. I'm dealing with the same stuff that you're dealing with. And I don't care if you're a leader in the church or you're sitting on the back row. All got some stuff that's going on in our lives. And see, that's why the Bible says that forsake not that says of the assembly of saints. Because when we come together, we touch and agree, there's power and strength in coming together. But if you're crazy enough to think, I just got it going on. Okay, fool, you do got it going on your way to hell. And so what God is saying is that we need one another to comfort one another. But even God, before God can come back and judge the world, he got to first begin with you and I. So the judgment is a disciplinary judgment that I love you and I need you to get right because the time is right now, baby. Look around, signs of the time, folks doing everything. And what God is saying to us is it won't be long. Now, God is saying to us, it won't be long. Acts 3:19-21, I think it is, where Jesus is waiting to come back to the earth. But even Jesus don't know the day nor the time. He's waiting on God to give him that. And God, who's a loving God, is saying, I would send you now, Jesus, but Tony will burn if I... And so I got to wait 2 more weeks before... So God is giving us a chance to get it right. And so when we begin to go through suffering, we get upset with God. And God is saying, boy, I'm saving you from the fire. What you upset with me for? Because if I allow to happen what you deserve right now and remove grace and remove mercy from you, you will just disappear. And so that's why we're able to continue, because of his grace and his mercy. But God has to first deal with the church. Then he says this, he says that he has to deal with the church first. And then he says, because the church that I'm dealing with, he says, I got to deal with the church. For what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? So if the church is having issues, the world has no hope. And so if we're having issues and we're crying and going through all of this, God is saying, boy, stop, shut up. I know what I'm doing with you. I know where I'm taking you. Because I'm trying to deal with the church so that I can deal with the world. But what kind of God is going to come back for a church without spots and wrinkles and we all got everything going on in the church and we're saying, here, God, judge the world. And God said, no, let me clean my own house up first. And see, that's you and I sometimes. We like to look at other people's stuff without acknowledging what's going on in our own house. And so God is saying, I got to clean mine. Verse number 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? In other words, there's no hope for them. So in judging the church, I have to do something in the church so I can get them ready for the judgment in which God is going to come. Verse number 19. Verse number 18 says this, wherefore let them that suffer according to what? In other words, you're in the church and God is dealing with you. How do you know God is dealing with you? Because you have a conscience. You remember you used to curse folks out and keep on walking? It ain't mean nothing to you. Now at least you'll call back and say, you know what? My bad. Now you caught me at the wrong time. My bad. 5 years ago, you would have cursed him out again and ready to fight. And so now that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, you do have a conscience. You do feel that, you know when you're wrong. And so God is saying, that's what I'm trying to work out inside of you. And he says that you're suffering according to the will of God. What I need you to do is commit to the keeping of your soul. In other words, as you suffer, don't lose your mind. Now, there's a spirit man, a soul man, and then there's a body, a flesh man. In other words, what God is saying is your spirit man is what dwells inside of you. Your soul is your thinking. He says, so when you're going through the suffering, don't lose your mind. Don't forget who I am. See, that's what Satan wants us to do. So he can't stop us. He distracts us. And so as long as we're distracted, our mind goes to wondering something else. Don't answer it, but just listen for a second. When you're going through something, don't you start talking to yourself. No. Don't answer it. See, that's all of us. Because we try to rationalize things. We try to deal with things and on and on. And so what God is saying is that you got to keep your mind stayed on me. And he says you got to do that because you got to know who I am. And who I am is a faithful creator. In other words, he's saying you got to commit to trusting me. Even when you don't understand, you still got to trust me. Even when you don't feel like it, you still got to trust me. So God wants us to trust him. And when we begin to trust God, we can get lost even in our suffering. Because my situations and my circumstances never determine my state of mind. Have you been blessed tonight?